Good morning to the peoples and the races of the 23 tribes. Good morning to the swamp people of Quadrant 99 Zebra X-Ray. Good morning to the cowboys rustling them their cattle up in them their hills someplace. Good morning. It's about 11 a.m. It's about 11 a.m. here in Scompton, Utah. And I'm just hanging out with you, trying to get through the grumblioid. You know, passing my moments by. It is Wednesday, May the 31st, the last day of May, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc, almost halfway through 2023. I call it the brief intermission. You can call it whatever you want to, friendo. And yes, it is almost 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in Scompton, Utah. And we are here to await the crumbling of the Great Time Arrow, as the ancient clock of space-time winds down the zero, and all the Keslin folk arrive at the great festival, and they ascend upon the altar of madness, whereupon is sacrificed all meaning and connection. Start off this wonderful day, we're going to do a rundown of headlines on Zero Hedge. That's right, ZeroHedge.com. Your last stop, your last shop, last gasp before you hit the desert. You know, you can't stay here, but you don't go there. Last Chance Saloon. And these are the headlines as of 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, ZeroHedge.com, starting from the top, okay? As debt deal inches towards Senate, McConnell prepares for battle with conservative holdouts. To us, it doesn't look like cuts at all. In fact, spending will go up every year under the debt plan, Rand Paul says. Epstein's pal, Jess Staley, throws Jamie Dimon under the bus, setting the stage for a massive legal battle. Conservative rappers slam Target for targeting your kids, top iTunes, despite shadow ban claim. Obstructionist and unacceptable, House GOP to hold FBI director in contempt of Congress. Oh, wow. Twitter worth a third of must purchase price, says stakeholder Fidelity. U.S. kicks Kosovo out of military drills for anti-Serb escalation. Twitter community notes fact checks Biden admin claim on migrant assistance. Oh boy. Why are the bulls dancing in the street? Does everyone really have to performance chase? I don't know, Bowles. We'll see. Methinks the plates are spinning because they're going to until the end, but we'll see. Texas services sector survey signals SSSS 12th straight month of contraction. U.S. job openings unexpectedly soar above the highest estimate, even as number of quits tumble. Wow, I'm sure that's real data. There are five-letter words, great. Chicago PMI unexpectedly plummets, longest contraction since Lehman. NVIDIA does all the heavy lifting, can't prop up market forever, though. As oil plunges, Goldman and others seize rising odds of another OPEC plus output cut. Okay. UK enters worst period of strike since Thatcher as government calls for price controls. Higher unemployment won't stop wages from rising. ECB rate hike odds. ECB rate hike odds zero tumble. After German inflation slumps, futures slump on dismal Chinese PMIs, rates slide as European inflation stalls. We are facing quite a lot of headwinds. Firstly, the China growth story. Clearly, that's been a major disappointment. On top of that, there's a risk of a U.S. recession. And for the Euro region, there's a likelihood that they're facing stagnation. Yeah, it's gonna be worse, fucker. Stagnation, recession, hyperinflation, inflation, stagflation. All of these are lesser catastrophes. And I get why people are negotiating in their heads for them, but whatever. These are the headlines as of 11 a.m., more or less. Mountain Standard Time, ZeroHedge.com. Next fucking topic. So I've talked a little bit about how next year isn't going to be what we think it is. And I'd like to be more specific. Because I don't know what ugly thing they're covering for. We recently began year four of high-intensity strategic military psychological warfare directed at billions of people, and of the theme, trauma-based mind control, which means it's a wrecking ball. Sociologically speaking, it's kind of tearing things apart. So you have to ask yourself, why the fuck would you do something like this? What do you expect to happen? What do you expect to do with it? And my answer is, you don't do much with billions of fucking crazy people. Really. You can't do much with that. But still, why? And I'd like to go down the list, and these are not in any particular order. Number one, I'm going to use a severity scale of 0 through 10. And it is logarithmic, which means that a 2 to a 3 to a 4, these are all powers of 10 difference. Okay? And I'm going to talk about likelihood in terms of low, medium, or high. I'm not going to give you a precise probability. That would be absurd. These are intuitive likelihoods, and I could be wrong. The first scenario for a fucked up 2024 Bo Blimp doc, because I am, for reasons of optimism, unwilling to remove it, is the collapse of the dollar empire. And if you're wondering how bad that would be, I give it a severity of 5, and I give it a likelihood of high. Like, I think it's going to happen. The only question is whether some greater catastrophe beats it to the punch at this point. So I give it a likelihood of high because I think it is inevitable. And it's just a question of whether something else gets to the finish line first. Like I said, 2024, baby. And, you know, a severity of 5, understand that for me, a severity of 10 would be something like a 10,000-year event. The kind of event that wipes away an epoch of civilization, not one particular empire. It wipes away the history of every single government, every empire, every library, everything. What you're left with in the future, many, many millennia in the future, are a few fragments that amount to a paragraph about a people that lived once and they flourished, and now they're gone. So a 10 would be really bad. Anything close to a 10 is pretty bad. Anything around a 5 would really more or less fit into like the 14th century crisis, I would argue. Something about on the scale with a 5. It's not the end of the world, but it's the type of event historically that really does change things. And I would argue any type of a localized dark age more or less is a 5. Okay, it's not the end of the world, but dark ages, which are usually more or less localized, okay? When we talk about the dark ages with respect to the fall of the Roman Empire, we're talking about mainly the impact of the fall of the Western Roman Empire. The Eastern Roman Empire continued until 1453, when those Turks scaled them there walls of Constantinople and Istanbul ain't Constantinople, yeah. So, if you want to know what a severity of 5 is, it's like the fall of the Western Roman Empire. It's kind of like the 14th century crisis. It's big enough that it's going to impact history for a long time. It is not even remotely a 10,000 year event, but it's big enough that we will remember it. The first item on the list is the collapse of the dollar empire. I put it at a 5. In terms of its impact sociologically, I think it's going to be pretty bad. I think it's going to result in a lot of dislocation, and that's a nice way of putting it. And I think the likelihood is high. It's just a question of when. The next item is a civil war. I have been skeptical of this one for a couple reasons. One is called the first mover's dilemma. I think there are lots of folks out there who might actually be legitimate, well-trained operators. And if they are, you're not going to find them on Twitter. You're not going to find them on Instagram or TikTok. You won't find them on Facebook. They might run a PSYOP campaign on social media because it's relatively cheap to do. But when you find the nut at the end of the wheel, it won't be them. Okay? The problem with all these folks is that they're all waiting for somebody else to make the first move. So this is one of the problems. I don't think any of them is ready to do it themselves. Somebody has to be willing to essentially be the cannon fodder at a Concord, you know, at a Bunker Hill. You have to kind of put yourself out there to, in many ways, to be destroyed. And that's the first mover's dilemma. In this scenario, everybody's looking at everybody else. It's kind of like the dance floor. You know, when you're 13, who's going to go dancing first? Everybody's on the edge of the floor. Nobody wants to dance first. That's the first mover's dilemma. And in terms of game theory, it's why games can get locked up. Because from a probability perspective, every individual player kind of knows that if they move first, they're very likely to be destroyed. Now, if they trigger a swarm, the numbers change, the probabilities improve, but they have to trigger a bunch of people moving. I mean, you know, that's the spooky intelligence of monkeys right there. So yeah, I put the severity of a U.S. Civil War slightly above dollar collapse. I put it at a 6, and here's why. I think the Ukraine war is bullshit, but a U.S. civil war at this point would probably trigger, for all intents and purposes, World War III, because many parties, I think, would swoop in at this point. It's a question of, do you think the people running this country are crazy? And if you think they're crazy, then what you want to do is get the nuclear weapons under control. So you're going to have the United Nations, you're going to have NATO forces, you'll have the Chinese, the Russians. It'll be a fucking mess. Just about anybody who is willing to ship arms or weapons will ship them in. So if there were a U.S. civil war, it would be worse than the 14th century crisis. How bad would really depend upon the external actors and the internal actors, okay? I have hypothesized what I refer to as a soft civil war, where there's no violence at all. It's just everybody agrees to, you know, split up, a kind of peaceful divorce, and it could happen. The problem is there are too many people in positions of power who just simply can't allow it. They can't allow it to happen. There are too many organizations that require this empire to be one contiguous place. So, yeah. Severity 6, likelihood medium. I don't put it super high. Next item is visitation or invasion by aliens. And I give this one a severity of 7. for lots of reasons, in part because I'm a Christian. So if all of a sudden and the aliens showed up, especially if one of them was one of these Nordic types, it was kind of human, you know, Starship Jesus, my immediate impression would be, okay, this is the Antichrist. He's showing up as an alien. So one interpretation of this event, if it were peaceful, from my perspective, would be this is the beginning of the end times. You know, and it's just a question of faith. I can't prove my faith. I simply have it. But what if it was an invasion? This too could indicate a similar type event, but I don't really know. I mean, I believe the COVID is military psychological warfare, but what would prevent them from doing the same thing they've done with the COVID and the Ukraine and the race war bullshit? Get ready for Daniel Penny, the race war part two. Chap chose you better warm up. But that being said, they've done a lot of these other operations. Why wouldn't they do a blue beam type operation? Why wouldn't they put on a show like Mickey Rooney, so to speak, get all the kids together and convince us that the aliens are invading? I wouldn't hold it against them. So I would say the severity, even if it's fake, is still pretty high because the implications are terrible. I mean, if they're at the point where they're doing stuff like that, some really ugly shit is heading our way. So I say severity of 7, but a low likelihood. The fourth item is catastrophic geological event because it's a fuzzy event. You can't really predict when it's going to happen. And so it kind of fits the scenario. And so something like a super earthquake, not a normal everyday earthquake, but a super quake. Something like a supervolcano or caldera cooking off. One or more of those would be very catastrophic. I put the severity at 8 because it's the kind of event that could push the human race to the brink. A supervolcano is on par with a comet hitting the planet. It can be about as bad. And depending upon how severe it is, you can have an ice age that could last hundreds, if not thousands of years. It could happen. We don't really know. The last time this type of event happened, supposedly, was about 70,000 years ago. And the human race, as a result, dropped to about, I think it was less than 10,000 people. So I put it at a severity of 8 and a likelihood of medium. And I give it medium mainly because it fits the scenario of a fuzzy event, an event that you could make a prediction about within a window of time. And the window began in 2019. And the window size is 5 years. The next kind of event would be, and I know, oh God, I don't want to hear it, Dan, I don't want to hear it, would be a catastrophic climate event. But when I say this, I'm not necessarily talking about something that was triggered by your car or your cheeseburger. It could very well be related to geoengineering, which I think is ongoing, and I believe it to be the case, and I'm not original. There are many people who suspect that the government is doing geoengineering covertly right now. It could be a result of that. It could also be the fact that they're doing it in response to something else, like what's called the clathrate gun or the methane bomb. And this refers to, in the best way I can describe it, an unexploded bomb from tens of thousands of years ago. And the only question is, how fast will it go off? Will it be a trickle or will it be an actual explosion? Is it a linear process or is it nonlinear? At what rate do all these bacteria that will be rapidly converting permafrost into, you know, methane, nitrous oxide, CO2, you name it. And by the way, nitrous oxide is almost 2,000 times more powerful of a greenhouse gas, so you don't need as much. Methane's about 200 times. You don't need as much. And so the question is, at what rate would all these microbes eat through the permafrost? Question one, how much permafrost is there? Question two. Question three, how much clathrate, which is frozen methane and water bonded together, is there in the Arctic Sea, and maybe specifically the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf? And depending upon who you read on the subject, it's either nothing to worry about, or it's potentially the thing to worry about. Like, it could be the thing that triggers something called Venus syndrome. And by the way, I didn't give any of these items a severity of 10, only because I'm just too afraid to. But I gave this type of event a severity of 9. It's hard to say if it were the methane bomb, if it were the clathrate gun, so to speak, it's hard to say how bad that would be. You're talking about a massive release of greenhouse gases over a short period of time, and it's irrelevant if that's a Freudian slip. It's irrelevant if human activity triggered it, because it's been triggered. It's an ongoing process. The permafrost, as we understand it, is currently in collapse. Okay, there are peat fires. Fires and peat bogs that are burning year-round all across the Arctic Circle. The permafrost is in collapse. So the only question is, how fast will the collapse occur? Okay, A, and how bad would it be? I don't believe the government. So if the government tells me there's nothing to worry about, I'm not saying you should take it as a tell, you got to worry. But when it comes to the clathrate gun, for most of the last 20 years, until recently, government scientists have been beating up on it. Say, this is stupid, nothing to worry about, don't worry about it. If you look at the standard science journals prior to 6 months ago, this is stupid, nothing to worry about, don't worry about it. And so whenever somebody in authority tells me not to worry about something, I am inclined to investigate it. And I've done enough investigation on my own to classify this in secular terms as a real problem that could happen. Doesn't mean it will. So I give it a likelihood of medium and a severity of 9. But in reality, the severity is probably 10 or greater if it were to happen. Best case scenario with this type of punctuated equilibrium event is that the next equilibrium state that the human race finds itself in probably is a lot like the average or the mean for Earth's history, and that's sometimes referred to as hothouse Earth. And the good news is humans can survive in hothouse Earth. The bad news is huge portions of this world will just not be inhabitable. It has to do with something called the wet bulb. And the problem is the humidity and the temperature in those places will be fine for many creatures, just not for human beings. We won't be able to live there. But other creatures might. It's hard to say. The Earth will not have been this warm in a long time. Even though for most of its history it's been warmer, recent history, at least going back 10,000 years, we've been in kind of a very temperate, stable, cooler state. And again, a lot of this is the result of the Arctic. If you want to think of what the Arctic is, in climate terms, the Arctic is like an air conditioner. And it's also like a freezer. It's an air conditioner because it's, you know, keeping things cooler, albedo effect, reflecting sunlight, and it's also powering an oceanic pump that circulates heat towards cooling, cooling back, cool water back towards warm water, a worldwide pump that distributes temperature, heat, and energy throughout the Earth's ocean. So the Arctic, for a long time, has been doing a great job of keeping the Earth more or less in a pretty nice spot for things like, you know, I want to have civilization, I want to have, you know, agriculture. Yeah, but it looks like the Arctic is breaking down. And so worse, you know, to me, the most likely scenario, if this is happening, is something like hothouse Earth. I sometimes call it Florida Man World. In Florida Man World, Florida becomes a reef, most of it. But everywhere else pretty much becomes like Florida. You've got gators in the Arctic in 20 years, that kind of thing. It could happen. You know, it's hard to say. But again, I don't like thinking about it because of all these scenarios I've looked at since 2020, the one that seemed to fit the best was this type of event. I don't like to think about it because it would be pretty bad. The next event is a solar event, and let's be more specific, something like a super flare. I don't think it would be something like a Carrington event. Yes, that would be bad, but I think that one gets a lot like Y2K, the effects of EMP in terms of immediately sending society into the hole. It's a lot like Y2K. It gets overplayed. It gets amped up. A super flare would be a lot worse than the Carrington event. If you've ever seen the film Knowing with Nicolas Cage, that would be closer to a super flare. Now, that one was the type of flare that simply removed all life from the planet. And I don't know that I'm talking about that. That's why I'm giving a severity of 8. But it would be that they figured out decades ago that this flare was coming somehow. Fuzzy event, fuzzy mathematics. And they said within this window, this flare will occur. And when it occurs, it's going to be worse than Carrington, but people can survive. It's just not everybody. Like, it's one of the reasons why, once again, I say, if you want to find where the premium survival condos are, it's not complicated. Ask yourself, where's one of the hardest places for you to go on Earth? And it's Antarctica. But if you wanted to survive a super flare, given the location of Antarctica, it's a pretty good spot. It's got mountains. You can definitely put a bunker down pretty deep. Even in the worst case predictions of the oceans rising, there are plenty of places that would still be way above the waterline. So you could set up quite a bunker complex in Antarctica. And yeah, a solar event like this kind that would justify the last 3 years of gaslighting billions of people, it would probably be more severe than Carrington, so I give it a severity of 8 and a likelihood of medium. The next one is famine. I think famine in some form is, as they say, baked into the cake. It's really just a question of which horse gets to the finish line first. You know, it's a lot like conversations around the collapse of the dollar. Is the dollar going to collapse? Absolutely. Is it going to be the thing? Maybe. If it gets to the finish line first. I'm of the opinion that the finish line is pretty much named 2024. So the question is, what gets there first? Famines build slowly, and then they kind of hit you hard. And so the question is there a famine building right now around the world? Question one. And then question two, how bad will it be? And I don't have an earthly way to come up with figuring that out. I think they're lying to us about so much stuff related to food right now that it could be we have all kinds of food and they're simply doing this on purpose. It could be that they've been planning for an event where the food production would be impacted. And they therefore are, you know, working out of warehouses mostly at this point. I don't know. I don't really know what to believe. I look across the schoolyard and I see a field of alfalfa that looks pretty healthy. So you take that as you will. But, you know, humans aren't eating that. I believe that's for the horses and the cows, you know. The last item, which again, before I move on, famine would be a severity of 8, really bad, but it has a likelihood of medium. Probably should be high, but again, it's a question of whether it's the thing that hits first. The last item, I give it a severity of 9, but I give it a likelihood of low, and here's why. And we've discussed this item before. If it was going to be a nuclear war, they would have total control of that timeline. We would have gone to sleep someday in October of 2019, and most of us would have never woken up. That's what would have happened. And to tell you the truth, in my opinion, if they were going to do the killing themselves, this was the most predictable outcome, the one that would give them the best odds. Yeah, it turns the Earth into a radioactive wasteland for a while. But a lot of people won't be living in a lot of places any longer anyways. You know, and for these folks, I mean, they've never really shown a big issue with poisoning people with radiation. So I don't see that as stopping them ethically. If their plan is to ride out the storm someplace like Antarctica, they probably don't give a fuck. They probably worked out the math. So if you were to say to me, Dan, and again, they could use neutron bombs, third, fourth generation nukes, nukes that have very low residual radiation, but can still kill a buttload of people. They could have rank ordered all the zip codes, used neutron bombs. They could have taken out 80% of the people on planet Earth in one night. And then they would have reached their targets. The rest would die of starvation that they wanted to die. They would slice off whatever rump part of humanity they wanted, if they wanted any of us. And that's how it would work out. But that would have happened in 2019. There would be no reason to do the last three fucking years of nonsense. That's why I say, even though the severity of nuclear war is a 9, the likelihood is low because it doesn't make any sense at this point. It makes way more sense prior to the monkey herpes, prior to the race war bullshit, prior to all the nonsense that never ends. If they were going to do nuclear war, there were multiple opportunities since the Ukraine war started where they could have used as an excuse. What are they waiting for? A special time? A special date? Why wouldn't they just do it? The one comeback you could say, well, Dan, they're working for Satan. You could say they're working for Satan. So there's the comeback for nuclear war. They're setting things up because, again, and I didn't put it on my list for my own reasons, but you could have an item number 9, and that is the end times, that the end times begin in 2024. Listen, whether it's the alien thing, whether it's the collapse of the dollar, even if it's the clathrate gun, these are all opportunities for some great world leader to come along and say, look at what I did. I fixed it. I'm here to help you. Maybe I was sent from another star like Superman, but I'm here to help you. Oh, you know, hi. Yeah, it would be the perfect stage. So I could add that to the list, but I just don't want to right now. The reason why I went over this list, and again, this isn't exhaustive. There could be other horrible shit. You could say, well, what about a real pandemic, Dan? I don't know. I mean, a real pandemic would be actually like a black swan. You wouldn't have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation publishing articles in 2018 saying, disease X is coming, it's going to be horrible, we're all going to have to live like Scrambo freaks. That's not a black swan, okay? That's a setup. So a real one would have to be a kind of a black swan pandemic, something that was actually killing people, something where nurses don't dance. They won't be dancing. A lot of them will quit their jobs. A lot of them will die. They won't be dancing. So yeah, an actual pandemic, maybe. I doubt it. I don't think that's something that they would remotely have the ability to predict at this point. That would be one of the least predictable kinds of fuzzy events I can imagine. An actual horrible, real, deadly, terrible pandemic. Yeah. So I don't include that either. This list is not exhaustive, but if you were to ask me what are the main contenders for making 2024 a fuckaroo, that way I can answer your question. What do you think's going to happen in 2024? I just gave you some fucking possibilities. If you want to ask me which one of these I think is the most likely, you're going to go into a depressing thought process of fatality that has nothing to do with cheeseburgers or hot dogs. You might have to stop ignoring the shit in the sky. You might have to ask yourself why the Puget Sound looks like a dead sea or a dying sea compared to when you were a kid in the 1970s. You might have to ask questions like that. Why ask hard, uncomfortable fucking questions, right? So I'm not going to tell you which one of these I think is the most likely. What I will say is all of them represent an opportunity for a guy by the name of the Antichrist. So there you go. But let's assume it's not the end times, because I'm going to continue on the subject here a bit. I believe there is only one way that the powers that be get away with what they've been doing. In 2020, when I realized it was psychological warfare, that it wasn't real, the first question I asked myself was, why? And the first answer is the simplest one. It's a ripoff. It's a scam. You know, the banks were heading towards a banking crisis in late 2019. And this was a way to head it off, to do the scam work, to set things up, to buy some time. It's simply a giant bank holiday, Dan. It's a giant scam. Bigger than 2008 and with wider repercussions. So they needed to implement what you can only refer to in many ways as global austerity. Austerity on the United States, maybe, but definitely the United States and other places. And that way they could control what people were doing. They were probably afraid, if the banking crisis were to be as big as they expected, that people would opt out of the system. I don't necessarily mean Bitcoin. I mean they might just, you know, start doing barter, use gold, use silver. These were all concerns. So early on, I said, okay, this is just a bigger bank scam. A bigger scam implemented by the Federal Reserve to preserve their system because their system is in trouble. But by the end of 2020, I'll be honest with you, it already looked darker to me. By the end of 2020, it was, this is the collapse of the dollar. This is what it looks like. And perhaps some other things going on. I kind of thought that it was possible there was a civil war in China, that these events were designed to cover up. I still think that could be possible, but it's hard to say. I don't trust any information from overseas at this point. A lot of the stuff we've gotten from places like Australia, for example, when I check it up, when I check those, you know, bits of information with other people who know people who live in Australia, the versions, they don't reconcile. So you have this horrible version of this horrible police state, and then you talk to somebody and they say none of that shit's happening. So again, it looks like the psyops might be mainly directed at the United States. Hard to say. By the end of 2022, and really 2021, it seemed clear to me, definitely by the end of 2021 probably, that it was worse than the collapse of the dollar, or at least the collapse of the dollar was now the best case scenario. And I'd say in the last year, I've said to myself, especially with the Ukraine war, and how strategic it is in terms of one of these scenarios, it is perfect. If you want to block off Arctic research, if you want to keep prying eyes away, if you want to be doing funky stuff in the Arctic, what better way to take 60% of it, of that research, of that openness away, by putting Russia into the box? You do it. Immediately, 60% of the Arctic is, you cannot go here. And it turns out the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf is kind of where the trouble is. So if you're concerned about the clathrate gun, for example, the Ukraine war is perfect. It allows them cover and protection and security. And then they can come up with all kinds of absurd excuses for where, you know, why certain things are happening. So again, once the Ukraine war kicked off in 2022, a little more than a year ago, I began to suspect that it was worse than the collapse of the dollar. But here's the deal. If you look at what they've been doing, if you look at how they have been behaving, and let's just call they the powers that be, whoever they think they are, the way they've been behaving is not people who want to build a slave class to have some dystopian future where everybody lives in a pod and eats crickets. I mean, they're using these things as fear monkeys, but they're not behaving as if they want them. The types of tools they're using to cover their tracks are destructive. Okay, they will leave American society in shambles if they continue. Period. If they continue the divide and conquer, the race war bullshit, if they decide to turn the COVID-19 knob up again, they will wreck American society. You don't build shit on that. There's nothing you build on that. If you're a Bond villain, the only plan you have is to disable people. And then the question is, well, how do you get away with it? How do you get away with mind-fucking billions of people for more than 3 years? And there's only really one way. And that's if the people are either dead and or the ones left alive are too busy trying to stay alive. They don't have the energy, they don't have the time, they don't have the concern to carry out some revenge campaign. And if most of the likely targets are in Antarctica, they don't have the resources to get there. That's how you get away with it. That is the only way. And as a Christian, I'll tell you, you can't get away with it. Okay, there is no bunker in which they can hide. But from their perspectives, it looks like they can get away with it. They hide out for 50 years, you know, maybe their grandchildren inherit the earth, and after that, whatever. If there are 100 million savages left alive in the various cities and regions, they will take their time to take over again with their super tech and their robots and their nanites and their 3D printers and their smart devices, and they'll be back on top again. And nobody will be left alive, and this is critical. Nobody will be left alive who will give a shit. Nobody will be left alive who will carry out a revenge campaign. The only way they can get away with this is if something's coming that's going to be so bad that we simply won't fucking care about the shit they've been doing. That's it. There is no other scenario. There's no reset. There's no taking over and putting you in pods. They're not going to pick you up and ship you to a Walmart and feed you. They don't give a fuck about you. The only scenario by which they survive is if most of us are either dead or struggling just to exist. That's how they do it. That's the only way. If they'd chosen a different type of campaign, like I said, pyramids on Mars, spaceship Jesus, everybody's going to get a taco time Tuesday. If they chose a different strategy than the COVID monkey herpes mindfuck or the race war or all this dreck surrounding gender, if they'd chosen something other than trauma-based mind control at this scale, I'd say, okay, maybe there's another agenda. But there is no fucking agenda that you can carry out with billions of people who are crazy. You can't. You can get out of the way. You can watch as they cut each other down. There are many things you can do to survive, but you're not going to be building fucking pyramids, dude. You're not going to be going to Mars. You're not going to be creating a slave caste. This is not the beginning of THX 1138. It looks more like Zardoz. Maybe your grandchild will look like Sean Connery in his red jumpsuit, in his red loincloth, with his pistole in the outland, you know, fighting against people who want to fuck, basically. The penis is evil, the gun is good. That's what Zardoz says. I needed to talk about those two things. I know that I ate up pretty much most of this podcast doing it, but the reason is quite simple. I need you to understand, if you're listening to this podcast, that yes, I believe sometime in the next, let's say, 12 to 18 months, I think things are about to ratchet up. And what we've mostly had so far is military psychological warfare. What I think is coming very soon is the thing that all these psyops was meant to more or less hide, you know, to include, as I pointed out, the carpet bombing of the third eye, to prevent people from intuiting through discernment on their own. And since a lot of people are not Christians and don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they would be inclined to ignore the voice anyways. And they'll listen to the Anthony Fauci. But something real that is not made up, that is not fake, I think, is going to reveal itself in the next year and a half. And it's going to be so big that it would fit into one of those categories. And it could be item 9, not listed. It could be, yeah, the beginning of the end times. I don't know for certain, brothers and sisters. But what I can tell you is, given what the powers that be have done, the only way they survive this is if most of us are gone. Forget the forgiveness tour bullshit. They know that that's never going to happen. There's going to be no forgiveness. There's going to be no class action lawsuits, even though they'd be justified. None of these things are going to happen. You're not going to vote for RFK Jr. He's not going to save you. They have to understand that there's going to be a blank slate, a tabula rasa, for the simple fact, as stated, the people left alive will be too busy trying to stay alive. Period. Next topic. So, we live in strange times. And as you wander this strange jungle of existence, you might drink from the water, you might eat the plant, you might consume old-style Gunta's flesh from the hooded monkey that lives in the cave. But if you eat the Gumptus flesh, if you eat the crown rodule, if you scoop up the blood simp and the glib that is near the, that's in the gutter near the entrance of the storm drain. If you consume the dead and decaying pucks of nugget flesh that are derived from the endless cycle, then you run the risk of getting a parasite. You can't get twisty egg disease unless your boobula is inflamed and there is darstrous residue collecting around the ring of your Dorf cruise. I remember when Cary Grant made love to some blonde bimbo on a train, but he was hunted by angry Germans armed with bats and drag queen scamp oils. He got some kind of worm from eating that Doberman cake at the fishnet rally for old gray bearded freaks and other hippies living in Sector 455 Zebra. There are swamp turtles in South America. They live off of water buffalo scat and Amazon grebe shit from dying anacondas. These turtles are infested with tiny singe ant maggots. They feed on their brains and muscles. The turtles move excruciatingly slow and are covered in fungus and moss and other tiny worlds. People who have eaten these turtles also become infected, and the maggots eat away at all their happy memories, leaving them slow and sad and covered in moss. Beware, parasites. Sky virgins do battle in vacuum ship dreadnoughts 20 miles above the surface of the earth. Sometimes you can see the flashes from their plasmatic rail guns. Sometimes a laser blast or an explosion. The ships up there have poor circulation and are a home to many different kinds of mold. Mold that enters these sky lesbians' bovulas and cause Stringus infections and super yeast 12,000. If you are sick from this type of infection, you can douse yourself in gasoline and monk jelly and grab a road flare and jump out of the airlock, falling through near space towards the land below. You get flea galls from hanging out at the Anchor Bar off of Greenkin Avenue in San Francisco, California. They get into your junk and your junk stops feeling right. So you take your gold to Melba's off of Third and sell 2 pints of fairy dust jizz to take your lightning wand to the Big Easy. You can buy a gamma ray laser to get rid of those fuckers. They're tearing the insides out of you. Beware of parasitic illness. After 8 p.m., when the guile folk tremble before Mort, the guest is allowed to feed on lice pudding, and the chef is allowed to bite the dark oyster. When jousting near Mumbai and your elephant craps a big one, you can buy a kite wrestler or one of those kids that grabs a welding torch and tears apart ships along the shore, like sand termites they are. They have the tumor juice. They know it. Here is a short list of additional concerns. Fire ants, cooties, killer bees, great white sharks. Albino alligators, giant cockroaches, rats of enormous size, vampires, robots, herpes 9000. You don't want it. You don't want herpes 9000. It'll tear you up. Yeah, vaccines for make-believe problems. That's a problem. Nuclear holocaust, bacteriological warfare, chemical warfare, computers, hookers, pimps, ex-wives that become hookers, and the most dangerous concern you have, the most dangerous parasite, is love. Love is the killer. Love's gonna waste you. Love's gonna tear you apart. The ultimate parasitic illness is love. Next topic, friends, friendo, next topic, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Sometimes I find my greatest joy in being proven wrong. I'm going to let this one just hang out there. I've had a need for expressing some very dark thoughts in recent weeks, and it probably is counterproductive with respect to my podcast. It's not probably, it definitely is. I want to keep things light. The issue is that I don't know how to take some of these issues and turn them totally into a joke, because at the end of the day, it's not that funny. What they've been doing, and this is again the point, the concrete truth of what they have been doing for the last 3 years is harming people at a global scale. Harming people, destroying businesses, creating chaos and madness. And none of this is going to turn out well. If we're really, really lucky, and I mean really lucky, we're going to have multiple generations of abused human beings with a kind of brain damage. And that damage will echo through time. And that's if we're lucky. That's if we're lucky, we're going to have a lot of wrecked human beings, a lot of kids that grow up with basically a lot of broken identities. And why? Because their parents were cowards, because their parents weren't willing to stand up for the truth. That's it. That's why. But I wouldn't mind being proven wrong, because the scale of it is big enough that to be wrong is preferable. To be wrong is better than being right. Being right means, yeah, that, you know, enjoy the next few months. Enjoy that, maybe up to a year. I don't know that we're going to see some kind of election in 2024, but who knows? Maybe we'll get to March Madness, right? We'll get to the primaries. We'll get to see how RFK Jr. does. I'd rather be wrong. That would be a better joy, a greater joy in this particular case. Sometimes it is better to be wrong. It is right, and this is in the Bible, brothers and sisters, it's in the Bible. It is right if your job is to stand guard, and in a way we're all responsible for each other that way. It is right to justly and appropriately raise the alarm. It's not really right to fall asleep. It's not really right to just play pretend and to ignore it. It is right to let your friends and family know there's something to be concerned about. On the other hand, you could be wrong. I could be wrong. So there it is. Next topic, probably the last topic. Am I right? I'm right. Anyways, next topic. I think this is another quote from Dr. Freckles. Teenagers make too much noise. Old people complain. Life continues. And life does continue. Yeah. I'll just let that one sit. I don't know. If you like this podcast, that's great. This is why I wait till the end to beg for money. But if you like this podcast, I can use your help. But before you decide to click on that PayPal link, if you're deciding to, please listen to the following. Obviously, I'm not a 501c3. So if you donate to me, this is not tax deductible. I shouldn't have to say that. But again, not a tax deductible organization. All right, that's number one. Number two, make sure you take care of the stuff you need to take care of. Okay, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. I have food, I have water, I have shelter. I'm a little low on money for the month as far as paying for rent, but that's not the end of the world. So I can kind of play catch up on that. So if you're wondering if my situation is desperate, the answer is no. Take care of yourself. Take care of your own food, water, shelter. Ideally, have a couple months worth of money saved up to cover rent and expenses if you can. I know for a lot of people that's impossible these days, but if you can have a little bit of money, not a lot, because it's hard to say where that money is going to end up, but having a couple months worth set aside is good. If you have some food set aside, as stated in the past, there is not a basement big enough for the worst case scenario. There isn't. Your big basement is your social capital. Your big basement are your friends and your family and the people you can trust. That is your big basement. But if you think you're going to have a big basement, especially if you live in a city, I'll have a big basement full of food and water and ammo, and I'll make sure to tell all my friends at the barbecue, yeah, or on Facebook. If you don't think that a lot of hoods haven't already mapped out shit, you're crazy. A lot of people have already figured out that you have a basement, that your basement is filled with food. So if you're asking yourself how big a basement, the simple answer is there isn't one. All right? You're not going to be able to depend upon that solely. What I am saying, though, is take care of some of these things before you give me any money. Take care of the people you love. There are probably people in your life right now who need help. Help them first. And try to find some joy in this life. This life is not supposed to be hell. It's not going to be heaven. It's not going to be the Millennium Kingdom. It's not going to be Eden ever again. But this life can be beautiful and amazing, even during scary times. Even if the severity level is 5, life goes on. A half a century after the 14th century crisis ended, it was the beginning of the Renaissance. Life goes on. People start building again. People start creating again. And if I were to wager what we're looking at is most likely on the scale with the 14th century. Pretty bad. Pretty bad. But not the end of the world. And if you're asking yourself, will people still be born? Yes. Will people still die? Obviously. Will people fall in love? Yes. Gross. Will people carry on with their lives? Absolutely. Life goes on. If you've taken care of the people you love and care about, if you've carved out some joy and happiness in your own life, and you still have money left over that you set aside for your big Vegas trip for hookers and cocaine, well, you don't have to do that. You don't need the hookers and cocaine. You can send the money my way. Click on that PayPal link. I know what to do with that cash. I'll use it quickly enough. I'll increase money velocity. It'll approach the speed of light going to my pocket. But if you don't have it, you don't have it, and that's okay too. These are not easy times for a lot of people. I wish I could tell you they're going to get easier, but that would be a lie. I could be wrong, but I don't believe it's going to happen that way. In a sense, that's why I like that quote, Sometimes it's good to be wrong. But right now, if you can take advantage of some calm and some peace and get out there and do something, especially if it involves building real relationships. I don't mean Twitter bullshit, Facebook bullshit. I don't mean TikTok. I mean, if you can get out there with friends and family and old acquaintances and connect with people, that is both a joyful thing to do, and at this point in human history, could be really fucking smart. Could increase your odds of survival just by doing that alone. But like I said, if you've done all these things and you're having the block party and you got all the barbecue, you got all the money you need, you have piles of cocaine and piles of hookers and piles of gold, you can send me that money. I'll use it. I'll use it quickly. That means, you know, money velocity, baby. That means it's in the economy. And if you're a Keynesian, you should be getting a real wet one right now. Other than that, it is Wednesday, the end of May, May the 31st, 2023, Bo Blimp Doc. It's almost 12 noon, which means it's almost time to say afternoon. It's almost time to say good afternoon, but not quite time. I can still say good morning. I can still say fuck you and good morning. I can still say I love you and fuck you and good morning. Bye.